Dreamers worried about what their future will bring. Good Wednesday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or the WJCT app. Just ahead, with President Obama leaving office and President-elect Trump coming to the White House, what is the future of DACA? That's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Immigration Plan. Get on the line now with your questions and comments about the group of students known as Dreamers. It's 549-2937 to join us. Then later, how veterans on the First Coast can become entrepreneurs, a free program. Make sure to keep listening for that. And it is our end of the year fund drive. Make sure to show your support for First Coast Connect and all your favorite programs on 89.9. Keep listening for details on how to make your pledge. All of that and more ahead. But first this hour, immigrants who were brought to the U.S. illegally as children but were protected from deportation by President Obama are now being warned to make sure they're not traveling abroad when Donald Trump is sworn in as president on January 20th. Some advocates, lawyers, and universities say they're concerned that Trump might rescind an Obama program known as DACA. It had allowed these young immigrants, who are also known in some camps as Dreamers, to work and travel for humanitarian, educational, or employment reasons. The DACA, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, started 4 years ago. Now, this weekend, Florida Coastal School of Law is holding a clinic on DACA with free legal information for anyone in our area who might be affected by potential changes. We've got a preview on the clinic and a look at the issue right now as we welcome Erica Curran, professor at Florida Coastal School of Law. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Also joining us in studio, Giselle Carson, immigration attorney with the Jacksonville firm Marks Gray. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And here's our question to callers. What are your thoughts and questions about the so-called Dreamers? Students who've come here to the U.S. illegally are now studying in the U.S. and want to stay and have been protected for the time being from deportation. This program is called DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. What do you think about this? What are your questions about what might change under a new administration with President-elect Trump? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email, tweet the show, weigh in on our Facebook page. Erica Curran with Florida Coastal School of Law, let's start with you. This is a free clinic coming up Sunday on your campus. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, why did you feel the need to hold this clinic when it comes to DACA? Is there a bit of concern in Florida about this, as we're seeing in some other states?
Yes, we definitely have students at all of our institutions of higher education in the area locally at Florida Coastal, UNF, JU. All of our schools have students that that have DACA. And so we know they're concerned, we're worried, and we have people in our community that are eligible for DACA as it currently stands. Mm-hmm. And they're frightened and they're concerned about their future. And, you know, one of the things that just happened on Friday was that Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator Durbin introduced bipartisan legislation, the Bridge Act. So that is something we hope to address as well, which will hopefully possibly provide a security net for those folks.
And is it theoretically a real bridge? Giselle Carson, immigration attorney with Marks Gray, what would this legislation spell out?
Well, ideally, what it's going to do, it's so the thought is that Trump could rescind the DACA program. And if he does, there is currently 700,000 people in our country that are under this protection. So if that were to go away, the students would be impacted, but I represent employers in business immigration, mm-hmm. and we're not thinking that many of the 700,000 are employed. They have an employment authorization document, so they're providing their productive workforce in our community, mm-hmm. and taking some of those employment authorization documents away could create a void in an employment pool that we're not thinking about. So this bridge gap legislation is aimed to protect those at least 700,000 that currently have.
It would temporarily stay deportation for that population.
Correct. Yes.
It's 549-2937. Let us know your thoughts about this piece of the immigration debate. Of course, Donald Trump campaigned heavily on the issue of illegal immigration. In fact, it was the cornerstone of his campaign, Erica Curran, not only promising to build a wall along the Mexican border, but also deport millions of people living in this country illegally. Since being elected president, he has backpedaled somewhat on some of those campaign pledges. But we still don't know what his administration might do when it comes to DACA. These are students who are actually now being told don't travel abroad because if you come back after January 20th, your status might have changed. Do you think that's good advice?
Yeah, I think it's risky for these young people to be traveling. And I also think everybody should consult with an immigration attorney, which is one of the reasons we're offering the clinic for anyone who's unable to afford an attorney so they can come and get information. They may have other ways to get status. We want to make sure that everybody has the right information, that fear isn't, you know, ruling, that people have accurate legal information. And there are people that are eligible for DACA that didn't apply as well. And so that's an important population to speak to as well.
Giselle Carson, here's a quote from President-elect Trump that he gave to Time magazine when it came to DACA. This is President Obama's program. He said, "We're going to work something out that's going to make people happy. They got brought here at a young age. They've worked here. They've gone to school here. Some were good students. Some have wonderful jobs. And now they're in Never Never Land because they don't know what's going to happen." As an immigration attorney, do you read that quote in a positive way?
Definitely.
How are you advising your clients based on what we know now?
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, these are people, like I said before, they're here. They were brought as kids. They have gone to our schools. In fact, I'm thinking of a client that she's more English speaker than she is Spanish speaking because she grew up here. So now, fortunately for her, the DACA program provides protection for 2 years. She has married a U.S. citizen, so now she's actually a legal permanent resident. But her family, it is a very, very scary situation to be in. Just imagine not knowing tomorrow morning when you wake up whether the police is going to be at your doors and asking you to leave the country. It's not what this country was founded upon.
What would you say, Erica Curran, to the listeners who would disagree? They liked Donald Trump's hard line on immigration. And even though these students were brought here as children before they could make their own decisions, they still don't think they should be allowed to stay since they didn't come legally.
You know, I think oftentimes people have those broad-based ideas, but when you talk to somebody and you hear the individual stories, once you're like, oh, that's someone I know, that's someone my daughter went to school with, or that's someone I work with, I think once it gets personal and people start thinking about, wow, those are people that I know that really are American in all the cultural sense of the word. And like Giselle said, linguistically, culturally, this is their country. And I think people start to change their minds once we get that education piece out.
And to be clear, we're talking about students. We're talking about young people who have essentially grown up in this country.
Right.
This is the only country they know.
Yeah, they're right. Our neighbors. They're our colleagues. Yes.
How big of an issue do you think this is in Northeast Florida, Giselle Carson? Because we tend to think of Jacksonville as a little less diverse than other parts of the state, but still, there's a significant chunk of the population here who's watching this closely.
Yeah, definitely. And again, because it's not just the current program, the problem. These are kids that have come to the United States throughout the year. So it is as prevalent of a problem here as it is in other parts of the country.
What type of turnout and questions do you expect at this free clinic Sunday, Erica, at Florida Coastal?
So we're asking people to call ahead so that we can be very prepared and provide more individualized support. But we're welcoming people that maybe aren't sure that they're eligible, that have questions. So we have volunteer attorneys and students available to help, and we'd like to be prepared to offer everybody at least a half an hour consultation so that they can get some individualized support rather than just, you know, a big presentation and no one at the end knows what's going on.
It's a free legal clinic coming up this Sunday in Jacksonville on the campus of Florida Coastal School of Law. The topic, DACA. That's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which may change under the Trump administration. When it comes to this issue of illegal immigration, the Dreamers, DACA, what are your questions? Let's go to your calls right now. It's 549-2937 to give us a call. Rusty at the Beaches. Hi, Rusty. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm not sure I agree with this policy 100%. I understand that the children, especially young children, are brought here with their parents when they, however they come into the country. And the children are left as a result of their parents' actions, basically being criminals because they're illegals. And you know, my family from generations back came in through Ellis Island. That is the way you're supposed to immigrate through this country. And when you choose not to, you said earlier that they fear waking up, having the police at their door every day. Well, that's what criminals fear. And I'm sorry to say, but they are criminals by their parents' actions. And I really don't know how to resolve the issue. If we only have 700,000 at this point, I don't know, maybe the ticket is to allow them the protection of being a citizen, but we still need to do something about their illegal parents. That's pretty much, I think, about all I have to say about it.
All righty. Rusty, thanks for the call. Giselle.
So just to clarify a few things, many of this, if not most of them, enter the United States legally.
You're talking about the students. Correct. And how is that?
How is that? The parents came in as visitors. The parents may have come in to sponsor as an employer. They may have come in to sponsor as a family member. And in fact, the majority of the 11 million people that we have in the United States undocumented enter legally. What happens is our legal system has not moved forward with the global economy that we live in. So we're still working with a system that was created many, many years ago that is not responsive to the family and employers' needs of the community. So these people are here, unfortunately, because the system is not responsive to their needs.
And due to political polarization, this Correct. Elusive goal of comprehensive immigration reform just remains elusive. Yeah. What do both of you think about prospects for that, some sort of consensus ever emerging on how to deal with this issue under the new administration and the new Congress?
Right. I mean, right now, if there was ever a time to make some change, I think there's the, you know, the power to do so. I'm concerned about what the change may be. But I do think everyone agrees that the system is broken on all sides. And we're not where we need to be, both in security and in, you know, benefits and appropriate visas available for employers and families.
We'll keep talking with both of our guests about what they think should be done to reform the system. But we want to know what you think, too. 549-2937. Let's go to Doug in Jacksonville now. Hi, Doug. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
Hey. Yeah, I'm just wondering if there are any opportunities to volunteer with this clinic. I'm an attorney, and I've worked with immigration matters throughout my career. And I tried to volunteer before, but I don't speak Spanish, so I was turned down. I'm wondering if maybe the situation has changed, and if it has, what do I do?
How can he volunteer? Since he doesn't speak Spanish, he's wondering how he could be part of helping this population. Erica?
Yeah, so we actually, through the Jacksonville Bar Association, offer free CLE for an event. It's not exactly DACA, but it's something that really is going to offer great support to the community, and it's our Citizenship Day program. And Jacksonville Area Legal Aid, Kathy Parr, would be a great contact. We provide free training, and it's designed for folks who don't have a background in immigration law, and you don't have to speak Spanish. So we'd love to have your help.
Doug, I hope you follow up with Legal Aid on that.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Doug. And so a minute ago, you both joined the overwhelming consensus view on this, that the system that we have is broken. If it were up to you to fix the system, Giselle, what would be the first changes you'd make?
I think it's such a big issue. A comprehensive immigration reform, and this is why it's taking so long to get there, because it's such a big issue. I think ideally, the new Congress and our new president will take it a piece at a time. Certainly, the amount of visas that we currently have are not supportive of the demand. For example, many people don't know this. There is only 140,000 green cards for employment-based workers. So that's it. That includes the worker and their families. That's just not enough.
What would be enough?
we don't know because we've never tested it, but certainly 140, that's why we have the lines. There's just not enough of them. And it's not that the jobs are not there. These are people that are being sponsored by employers, and the employers are saying, we want them, we need them, and we just don't have visas to get them here.
Erica.
Well, I think that many studies have shown that if you reinstated a provision of the law that was available in 2000 that allowed people to pay a penalty for unlawful entry, there's probably about 5 to 6 million of the undocumented individuals in this country that are in mixed status families. They've got U.S. citizen LPR family members that could petition for them, but they're kind of stuck due to a legal gap in the law. And if you were able to fix that, I think that for me, that would be a starting point.
549-2937, let us know your thoughts on DACA. That's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program. A free clinic on this Sunday at Jacksonville's Florida Coastal School of Law. Larry is in Ponte Vedra. Hi, Larry. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Go ahead.
I have a question about DACA. I don't understand what the deferred action means and what the ultimate paths are available for these people as they go forward.
What it means, sure. Okay, so deferred action means specifically that any action on deporting these young people will be deferred. Is that fair to say?
That is correct. And this is a very good question because people don't understand. Many people think, well, we're giving extra protection. We're giving a path to these people to become documented, and they're not. It's really a very temporary, unstable status that it was our hope was going to eventually lead to something more permanent, like Erica said, maybe by paying a penalty, going through criminal background checks. But currently, it is not. Mm-hmm. It is just a two-year, very unstable status that prevents them from being deported.
And what happens at the end of the 2 years?
If the program is not renewed, and that is part of the conversation we're having, basically they go back to their undocumented status, no travel, no work authorization.
Leo is in Orange Park. Hi, Leo. Thanks for calling.
Hi. To give you a little background, I grew up in California. Both my parents came here illegally. But what people don't understand is how the process is really broken. And DACA really protects people from being deported while they're trying to gain their residency. For example, my mom, she was trying to get her residency. But because she put her paperwork in, immigration came to her house and they took her like she was some sort of criminal and threw her out to Mexico. And she had to be in Mexico for 4 years in order to come back into the States legally. And that process people don't understand, and I think people need to do research on how much it really affects lives. Because I'm a citizen, but because that happened to my family, I was like, whoa, this country does not want me here. And you have kids that pretty much grew up here, and some of them don't even know they're not here legally until they try to go to college or something like that.
Is that what... tell us about your path to citizenship.
So luckily, I was born here. My mom came here illegally when I was born, and my two siblings were citizens too. But even though we were citizens, my mom did not have anything protecting her from being kicked out of the country when she tried to apply for her residency.
And so she spent years in Mexico. Who raised you while she was away?
My dad had to make the decision to stay in the States with me, while my brother and sister went to Mexico until she was allowed to come back into the States.
What was that like for you as a kid?
It was horrible. I pretty much spent 4 years of high school without my mom until she came back.
Leo, thanks for sharing that. Okay, so that gives you a sense of how our system works when it comes to families that are in this predicament. How it affects children and families.
Absolutely. The impact on our communities locally, just with these children that are left behind in our schools and our communities. And I think that's one of the things folks don't realize. I know the previous caller spoke about Ellis Island. That old system didn't require the things that we require today. So many of us whose families immigrated 100 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to come to the U.S. today. And I think that education piece about what our immigration laws are is sort of missing.
Pam is on the South Side. Hi, Pam. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say, first of all, I feel badly for all of the children who are here, blocked by their parents before they were old enough to make a decision. But my son's girlfriend right now is here from the Philippines, and she is in the process of immigrating here legally as opposed to illegally. I feel very strongly there's a right way to do things and a wrong way. And I am starting to learn a bit about the process from her. It is very complicated. I don't even begin to comprehend it. And it is expensive. Yet she has chosen to come to this country the right and legal way. I think people who come here illegally, it is a slap in the face to every person who immigrates legally.
Thanks, Pam. And of course, that point of view is what, in part, what propelled Donald Trump to the White House. Giselle, this sense that too many people are coming to the country illegally, although I do believe the data shows that illegal immigration is actually down.
It is.
But still, a strong sense of unfairness among a lot of voters that too many people have come in illegally, and that's not fair to legal immigrants. And so what about that argument?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a business immigration practitioner. I hear that from my clients all the time. Why do I have to pay this much money? Why do I have to wait this much time when there is other people that are coming illegally? And obviously, the legal way is the way to go. So I'm not saying go come and stay undocumented, come undocumented. That's not right. But the problem is not, the problem is the system is not keeping up with the demand. And I totally understand. I mean, I have currently a client from the Philippines that I've been working with for over 5 years. She's been waiting for her priority date to become concurrent, and she's a nurse. She's finally got it. She's actually going to counsel the process in January, and we're thrilled for her. So I understand the waits, and I'm an immigrant myself. I've been in the lines. I've been waiting. So I get it. However, again, in the DACA, which is the issue today, these kids did not choose to come here. They were brought here, and they've been raised in this country. They're more Americans than they are in anything else.
Ed is in Orange Park. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hi. Yes, hi. A wonderful conversation, as always.
Thanks.
Yes, I'm. You're welcome. This is very interesting, but I think one of your guests was kind of, I don't know, trying to differentiate a little bit between somebody who came here illegally and somebody who came here legally with a student visa, work visa, or some kind of legal way to get in, and decided to overstay and then became illegal. They're all illegal. I mean, if an American citizen to go to, let's say, Mexico or Norway in a student visa or a tourist and overstay, that would be illegal. There's not even any doubt about that. The situation is a very complicated one, very sad. I think one thing automatically is that if you are here illegally but you ended up in the armed forces, you should be automatically allowed to stay. I figure that if you're willing to die for our country, you should be at least given a special pass for anything else you came in here legally or not. It's very complicated, but something has to be done. We cannot allow people just to come here and stay. We don't have the resources, and it's not fair for people who are doing it the right way.
All right. Thanks for that. Let's take one more call. It's Whitney in Kingsland, Georgia. Hi, Whitney. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Great. This is kind of a little bit off topic, but my father's daughter came to this country 20-something years ago from Panama, and he was a legal immigrant. However, he chose to continuously break the law, but he was allowed to do this for many, many years and finally was deported just last year. And I was just wondering what your comments were on someone who can stay here in the States and continue to break the rules of the United States, but get a long stay, but then someone who's trying to actually become an immigrant, they're easily pushed out very quickly.
Thanks for pointing that out, too. Okay. Well, so many interesting calls and stories being shared.
Yeah.
Erica.
So one of the reasons that we had the deferred action was priorities. Like, we do not have the resources to apprehend and deport all of the people that are out of status in the United States. So the Obama administration said, we can't get the DREAM Act passed, so we're going to do things to prioritize, not focus on people who are obeying our laws, not committing crimes, going to school, so we can focus. And Obama has deported more people than any other president in the past 19 presidents.
That has completely gotten lost in this discussion. Deportations have been up significantly under Obama. And we've brought that up on this program quite a few times. The national media has not really reported that, I don't think, in the way that they needed to. But all of that said, Giselle, as Erica pointed out, Obama set up DACA basically through executive order since the DREAM Act couldn't get through Congress. Donald Trump could rescind that through executive order.
That is correct.
Right?
And that is why that is one of the programs that is at most at risk at most after January 22nd.
Or 20th. After January 20th.
20th. Yeah.
So for people that are interested in this clinic, again, this is Sunday at 4 o'clock at Florida Coastal. You want to get the word out to anyone who needs this information.
Absolutely. And please call us ahead of time, 904-680-7650. We'd like to plan ahead so that we can have adequate support available. And our help is free. And we do plan to offer future events after January 20th as well.
Again, this is a free legal clinic at Florida Coastal School of Law by the school's immigration clinical program. It's about DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, Sunday, 4 p.m. at Florida Coastal. Erica Kern, professor with the school, immigration attorney Giselle Carson with Marks Gray joining us. Ladies, thanks for your expertise. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Much more still ahead on the show later, helping returning veterans on the First Coast start their own business. We'll tell you about it. But up next, it's our year-end fund drive, and we need you to give us a call right now. Here's how.
Give us a call at 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528, or go online to wjct.org. Good morning. I'm Kevin Mersch, our producer for First Coast Connect. This is the day one of our end-of-the-year fund drive. Show your support and how much you enjoy programs like First Coast Connect and everything else here at WJCT. You know, what we do is bring you all the information we can, and we do it in a calm level. We do it fairly. We give all sides. We don't make things up. We tell you what's going on, whether you want to hear it or not. And that's what we do here. We know that's important to you to get the actual information. It's not easy. It takes time. It takes money. But we do it because we know it's important to you. So how about making that call right now at 353-9528 or 1-800-722-9528. Don't forget, for $120 or maybe 10 months, $10 a month as a monthly sustainer, we'll send you that great little WJCT water bottle as a thank you. You can get that with your call, or tell you what, $80 one-time gift, and we'll send you the CDC of Hamilton, that's a big, big program, lots of talk about that. I know some people listen to that and just love to hear it. You can get that for $80. Get Hamilton, the mixtape, 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528. Interesting thing this morning, I was looking online, and PolitiFact down in South Florida every year has Lie of the Year. Their Lie of the Year this year is false news. All that false news we heard coming out of places around, making up stories and putting it on Facebook, and then people would send there and, oh my God, look at this. Well, you didn't hear any of that around here, because we don't give you any fake news. We give you the real news. We give you the important issues. So you stick with us, and you're not going to have to listen to that. You don't have to then go on and tell your friend, you know, that's a fake news site. That's not really ABC News. That's a fake. That's not that. That didn't really happen. What we tell you about does happen. What really happens is that we need your support. So call right now, 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528. Go online at wjct.org. Become a sustainer, $10 a month off your credit card. It's really easy. You don't have to worry about sending in a check or anything like that. It's just there all the time for you. And don't forget, you do $10 a month, we're going to send you our WJCT water bottle as a thank you gift. But you need to make that call now. We're only here for 3 days during this drive. This is to wrap things up. We fell a little short at our last drive in the fall, so we need you to show your financial support right now. 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528, or go online, wjct.org, and thank you very much for your support.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Join WJCT for an evening with Dr. Richard Freund. Dr. Freund was part of an archaeological team that discovered a 100-foot-long underground tunnel made by Lithuanian Jews during the Holocaust. Meet Dr. Freund and see a preview of the Nova episode that filmed the international team during their historic find. February 9th at 6 p.m. at the WJCT studios. Tickets are free, but seating is limited, so be sure to reserve your seat today. Go to wjct.org/events.
On the next Fresh Air, fake news in the presidential election. We'll speak with BuzzFeed media editor Craig Silverman, who spent years writing about accuracy in media. He'll tell us why teenagers in a small town in Macedonia run websites spinning tall tales about American politics, and why so many of us are willing to believe stories that aren't true. Join us.
Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back. Well, nearly one in four active duty service members and veterans say they'd like to open their own business. Opportunity, freedom, solving problems. It attracts them to this challenge. If you're a veteran or have a loved one who's a veteran, well, you need to know about the Veterans Florida Entrepreneurship Program. This is a tuition-free online and on-campus program at UNF designed to accelerate the entrepreneurial success of our First Coast vets. Here with more, Bob Buen. He's the Entrepreneurship Training Program Manager with UNF's Military and Veterans Resource Center. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Also with us, John Fales of the local veterans support organization, Bunker Labs.
Good morning. Thank you.
This is exciting, and there are so many veterans, I'm sure, who would have a strong interest in this, Bob. Tell us what's going to be happening.
Well, there are, and you know, the statistics tell us that one in four active duty folks, soon-to-be veterans or veterans, have an interest in starting a business or running their own business, you know, so because the skills they learn in the military really translate well.
Yeah.
But the program we're going to run at UNF, and we're one of seven state university institutions involved in this, and we did it last year, so it's our second time around. We were in the inaugural program last year, very successful. It's funded by the state legislature, and it really is a result of the governor and the legislature attempt to two things: make Florida the most military-friendly state, and to create jobs and businesses in the state. So that's the focus, and that's who we're serving, are veterans that are going to be Florida residents.
Now let's talk about Bunker Labs. John Fales, how is Bunker Labs involved? Because you are also engaged in this mission of helping veterans transition and get their careers going when they're done serving.
Right. I think this is all about creating a pathway to entrepreneurship for veterans that serves the community and the ecosystem well. We're very much a bootstrapping community here in Jacksonville of entrepreneurs who are doing great things and pulling themselves up and really pushing to power through and be great in their own way. And I think what this does is it allows an opportunity of an entry point through programs like the one at UNF that allow veterans to get the baseline, get their business started, and get a business plan. Then the Bunker, we actually have our program that sets up right after that, where we can bring veterans in, teach them how to pitch, teach them how to organize, teach them how to get their finances in order. And then we've actually been working also with the Chamber of Commerce, who has the Bridges program right after that. So there's an entire pathway of resources in the community that can help you get from the ground and build up.
Absolutely. So if you're a veteran who's been honorably discharged or are active duty within 1 year of separation, you are Reserve, National Guard, you reside in Florida, and you have an interest, you qualify for this program. So tell us when this is going to be happening, and how can we get veterans to make sure that they mark their calendar?
Right, and that you did. You outlined the requirements. We're enrolling right now. We've got a good-sized class already, but there's room for more. The website is entrepreneur.veteransflorida.org, or you can just go to veteransflorida.org and you'll get to it.
Okay.
But it's an online registration. We're not doing it directly through UNF, but you'll be placed geographically in the school that's appropriate. So if you're in Northeast Florida.
So they're going to school. What are some of the classes like?
It's a 15-week course. It'll start January 20th. We'll have an open house information session on January 5th for those enrolled. But January 20th through May 6th, it'll be 15 weeks of online, and then alternate Saturdays in the classroom with great instructors from University of North Florida College of Business, Coggin College, and also other mentors and resource folks from town here.
And what's it been like for the veterans that have gone through this program already? Have you tracked their success after they graduated?
We have. We had a great group, 28 graduates last spring from this, the first time ever course. So we didn't really know what to expect at the time. But they've many of them, most of them have started businesses. And it ranges from inventions like a different kind of golf tee and a pizza slicer to services, to restaurants, to contracts. You know, it was a little bit of everything. But they were, one thing we saw was in the classroom sessions is these entrepreneurs, it doesn't matter what their idea is, but they feed off each other. They get excited, and they built a really great team, and they've stayed in touch with a Facebook page, and so they're doing really well.
John Fales with Bunker Labs. Veterans, I would think, have a lot of the attributes that would make a good entrepreneur based on what they've already built in their military service.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every veteran you come into contact with who's looking to start their own business has a certain spirit in the eye because they already know that they're about to meet adversity, but they do so with a certain amount of integrity and really experience with adversity that your standard entrepreneur doesn't have.
Yeah.
So leveraging those experiences from the military leadership and the problem-solving skills and quite frankly, dealing with unusual situations translates to entrepreneurship very well.
It takes courage to start a business. It's not for sissies.
No.
Yeah, for sure. So people, again, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about this extraordinary opportunity for First Coast veterans. If you're interested in starting your own business, you need to register for the Entrepreneurship Training Program. This is with UNF's Military and Veterans Resource Center. Veterans Florida.
Veterans Florida is the organization.
VeteransFlorida.org.
And that's the group that is funding this through the state legislature.
A free program, 15 weeks.
That's right. And we'll provide books. We'll provide what's called Lean Startup, which is a nationally recognized program to get you a business plan. I mean, really the goal here is at the end of the 15 weeks, someone who has an idea has crafted it into a business plan and it can walk out the door. And it's a good transition to Bunker Labs, who will help them execute that plan.
Yeah, lots of help along the way. So, gentlemen, thanks so much for sharing this with us.
We appreciate the time. Thanks very much. And sign up, veteransflorida.org.
Bob Buen, the Entrepreneurship Training Program Manager with UNF's Military and Veterans Resource Center. John Fales is the Executive Director of Bunker Labs here in Jacksonville. And we'll be right back.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, President-elect Trump tweeted this week he will hand over control of his businesses before he takes office, but he has yet to address possible financial conflicts of interest, ethical concerns about Trump's business empire as he enters the White House. At 10 o'clock on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
It's a busy musical season. Bruce Adolph, as this week's piano puzzler, will have some winter concert highlights from around the country and a virtuosic performance of Till Eulenspiegel's Merry Pranks by Richard Strauss from the Los Angeles Philharmonic. All of that on the next Performance Today from APM. Weeknights at 7 on 89.9 WJCT.
When you're experiencing the in-depth content of WJCT, you know there's always something more to explore. regardless of the device. It's a special commitment sharing the world, and as such, WJCT is an indispensable service here on the First Coast. Truth is, however, that such content, whether you access it via television, radio, or various digital platforms, is expensive. Costs that are largely funded by people like you. So please, during this season of giving, stand up now for your cherished values of curiosity and excellence with your vital year-end investment. Your support makes it possible for WJCT to continue to share your community, your world. Do so today at wjct.org. Thank you.
Welcome back. Well, finally this hour, you can donate to Toys for Tots and take a trip back to the 80s at the same time. But first, you need to know the location of this weekend's hidden 80s, 90s themed party. Ryan Thompson cooked this idea up. That's no surprise. He is founder and president of GAM. That's the local organization, Games, Art, and Music. Good morning.
Good morning.
Right away, you caught my attention when you said this is an 80s and 90s theme party, and it's hidden.
That's right.
It's secret.
Why do something simple?
Exactly. You gotta mix it up just a little bit. Now, what's this all about? How'd you come up with this?
So, kind of like, you know, GAM originated a lot of, with those after parties for video game launches or whatnot. And we love doing those events, and we love toys. We love the whole 80s and 90s. Like, I grew up on He-Man and G.I. Joe. And
sure.
I'm not going to lie, I like Rainbow Bright. I thought it was awesome. So
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I know all the gamers
good.
Out there do.
Yeah, so and you're nodding good. Like yeah. You do. So I'm like, sweet, we're connecting on it.
Yeah, we're connecting.
But yeah, we wanted to do another event. We didn't want to do a GAM show because that's too big to do twice a year anymore. So we're like, okay, let's just do this party. We'll do it about the toys. You know, we can do something for Toys for Tots. And then all of a sudden, like, well, let's make it a secret party. Let's not tell any. Like, even most of the team still doesn't know where the location of this event is. Like, I think like maybe 6 people know, and that's about it.
Can you share the location now that you're here on an open mic?
Sure. It's in Jacksonville, Florida. And it's in a building.
Now, come on. Give me a hint here. Give me something.
I'll tell you
Throw
this
Throw me
much.
A crumb or two.
So the place where this is typical, where events normally are for this, you actually have to sign a waiver to say that
you're
not going to share anything that happens within these walls.
Get out of
here. It is that secret this year.
What on earth is this thing?
You know,
see, you're getting a lot, just by everything you're saying now, secret, waiver. These are buzzwords that are going to drive your attendance through the roof,
Ryan. I hope not, because I want to keep it a secret, but a small secret party. So we're capping the tickets. So we already had to like raise the limit the other day, because it raised where we wanted to stop at. We're like, okay, we got to let a few more people
Well, how
into
many
it.
Can this venue hold?
The venue itself could hold, I want to say, around 700.
That's
a
pretty big party.
Yeah, we don't want to do it that big this year because then everybody will kill me. They're like, we just did another event for 700 people? We're like, no.
Are you encouraging people to come in costume?
Definitely come in costumes. We're embracing the 80s, 90s toys theme. Like, we just finished building like a 6-foot-tall Dragonzord from Power Rangers that's going to sit there and have lasers and fog coming out of it.
So this is definitely going along with the gaming theme, right?
Definitely.
But people can come in any costume they want.
Any costume you want. You know, we're still going to have like food trucks. You know, there'll be DJs, lots of just like fun game, like board games to play. There'll be break dancers and all kinds of, you know, all the party stuff will still be there. It's just completely secret this time. It's going to be one of those things, either you know about it and you got there, or you're going to hear about it and be like, where was this thing? I'm like, oh, there was this thing in Jacksonville. Nobody knew where it was.
How can people register to be part of this secrecy?
If you go to gamtoyland.eventbrite.com, you can get your tickets there.
That's G-A-A-M.
Yes,
Toyland.
Thank you.
Yeah.
G-A-A-M, toyland.eventbrite.com. The event's this Saturday starting at 7. It might end at 12. It might end at 2. If we really want to, we can push it till 7 in the morning. We probably won't do that because I'll be asleep.
You're going to actually get some sleep after this thing's over.
Yes, because I'm actually moving into a new house right now, too. And
you're not busy at all.
No, I've got nothing going on. It's all good.
Now, as fun as this sounds, this is also a toy drive for Toys for Tots. Should people bring an unwrapped toy?
Please do. We're actually giving discounts if you bring a toy. I think it's like $5 off or something like that. If you actually bring a toy, bring an unwrapped toy. Please, you know, don't bring a gun toy or a video. For oddly enough, for an event that GAM's throwing, please don't bring video games. Because, you know, if the kids don't have the system, then it's a heart-wrenching moment.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Yeah, just keep it simple. Go buy a Ninja Turtle, or go buy a new He-Man, a wrestling championship belt, Barbie, something, any one of those things are fine.
Now, you founded GAM. You and I used to work together.
The good old days.
In the good old days at the Dalton Agency. After
Love you, Jim.
Yeah, great guys over there. Mm-hmm. You founded GAM after you left that world, the agency world.
Yes.
It has grown a lot over the years.
Yeah, we never thought it would get this far. Like, we just thought, hey, we'll start this little art show thing up and maybe a few people show up. And then the last one was over 1,000.
Why do you think it's taken off? What is it about the little niche you've hit on you think that's so appealing?
I think the gaming culture itself is this huge industry, a huge community and culture. Like, you're starting to see things like a GLHF, that's good luck, have fun, just open a video game bar in downtown Jax. You've got, you know, local mom and pop shops like Video Game Rescue that embrace the actual culture of it. ESPN is now finally showing, you know, video game tournaments on like their main channels where like millions of people are watching it. So it's almost like sports for the new generation, just like, you know, most of like my dads and, you know, grew up watching football on TV. They're not actually out there playing football, but they still say, well, you know, the Jaguar should have got so-and-so. It's the same thing with video games. It's like, man, that Ryu should have thrown a Hadouken earlier. And I think we've kind of hit that, you know, we're very sincere.
See, once again, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, but again, I can see it in your eyes, your heart knows what I'm talking about.
That's right.
That's all that matters.
I'm giving you all my love and support. So, and by the way, Ryan brought with him these really amazing swords. Do I get to keep this sword?
You can keep that one. It is
really?
She-Ra's Princess of Power sword. I thought it was appropriate for you.
Oh, I am all about that.
That gem is actually worth $30 million.
I'm going to display this in a place of honor right next to my most prized possession, which is, of course, my bust of Ron Burgundy, which sits right here in Studio 5 watching over us all every morning.
I am so jealous of that. I saw it just a few minutes ago, and I'm like, that is baller as hell.
Oh, like, this is the best thing in the world. Like, this is the holy of holies. But the Princess of Power She-Ra sword, I gotta say,
You can keep people in line with that.
This is up there, Ryan.
I mean, I know you're being cast for Anchorman 3 right now, so I'm not going to assume that this is at that level, but it is an honor to be aligned with anything you have up on this prestigious desk.
It's too bad we're not on TV. I knight you the king of gaming in Jacksonville with my Princess of Power sword, Ryan Thompson. Thank you for this gift.
No, thank you.
All right.
So wield it wisely.
I will. I will wield my power with care and restraint. Is that right?
That is perfect.
Okay. Come on out to Ryan's party. This is the hidden secret 80s, 90s theme party. It's being thrown by GAM. That's Games, Art, and Music. Saturday night. Again, this is a secret location.
Mm-hmm.
To register, you go to gamtoyland.eventbrite.com. Bring an unwrapped toy for Toys for Tots to get a discount on your admission. It's going to be fun.
Real fun. You'll get the location Saturday morning, so you'll be able to drive there. Don't worry about it.
Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
That's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Mershart. Michelle Corum runs the board. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chevchik. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or the WJCT app. And next on Diane Rehm, a New York Times investigation details a Russian cyber espionage effort to tip the election to Donald Trump and also disrupt House races in a dozen states. Missed signals and consequences of a Russia-backed campaign to interfere with our elections. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again tomorrow at 9, but right now, we need you to support WJCT. Here's how.
Give us a call at 353-9528 or 1-800-722-9528 or go online to wjct.org. Good morning. I'm Kevin Mershart, producer for First Coast Connect. We are here in the first day of our end-of-the-year fund drive asking for your financial support for all the programs you enjoy here on WJCT. So if you're a big fan of First Coast Connect, if you like today's program, if you like every program, give us a call right now and show your support. I get to answer the phones during First Coast Connect usually, and I know we get a lot of phone calls from all around the area from people who want to ask their questions about the topic at hand or offer their opinions on the topic at hand. Well, it's that important to you to go through your busy day and pick up your phone and call in to the program, then please give us a call and show your financial support as well. 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528. Become a $10 ongoing monthly sustainer or maybe a $120 one-time gift, and we will send you our great stainless steel water bottle. Says thank you on it. Says WJCT on it. You can take it, bring it to the gym, walk around the beach, hang out on the South Bank or North Bank taking a walk, and have your bottle with you and showing your support for everyone else there who does the same thing as you. Enjoys listening to WJCT and enjoys listening to First Coast Connect every day and likes Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Fresh Air and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and all the other programs we bring you every single day and on the weekends. They're made possible because of listeners just like you. Tell you what, we also got something else for you. We have the Hamilton mixtape CD, $80 one-time gift. You are going to get that. If you're a big fan of Hamilton, and I know a lot of you are, then by all means, make that call right now. It's a great little gift. Maybe you can pick one up and give it to somebody for the holiday season. 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528. Go online at wjct.org. You are with us through the entire election cycle. We brought you all sorts of IT programs on that. Many issues we talked about here on First Coast Connect, and it's made possible because of listeners like you. We do this all the time. We'll sit there and think about what should we have, what should the discussion us, what do we want to talk about maybe tomorrow, next day, and that. What is it that people out there are hearing about? Well, let's delve into these topics a little more in-depthly. That's what we like to do. And we're able to do that because of listeners like you showing your support. We get to bring in great guests from all around the area, people from all around the state, authors and musicians and lawmakers and activists and just people who are experts in their field. They come to you every day because they know it's important to get their message out, and they know it's important to you. So make that call now and show your support. Once again, 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528, or go online at wjct.org. And thank you very much for your support of this, your public radio station.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.